For the Master, my name is Chip Horton, and with us in the studio today is our regular Monday morning host, Richard Rutledge. We are glad to be with you today, and we are certainly thankful that you found the GospelRadioNetwork.org, and we know that many of you listen regularly, and so we continue to thank you for your dedicated listenership. I know that Mom and Dad and Grandma are probably listening this morning down there in Franklin, Tennessee, so howdy, y'all. I know my wife listens on a regular basis, so good morning to you, honey, as well. Know Miss Ann listens regularly down there in Winnsboro. Miss Frida over here on the highway. So many of you that regularly listen. And if you have an opportunity this morning, if you have an outlet, we would encourage you to get on the chat window and send in your comments this morning as it relates even to 2 Timothy 2. Maybe you just want to poke your head in and say hi. We'd be glad to have you do that as well. But at least log in, because when you log in, we can tell who exactly it is that's listening. So if you got an iPhone, you got a second just to tag in, or you got your laptop open or something, we'd be glad to have you poke your head in and say howdy. But we're glad you're with us today. There's a lot going on around us. We have a meeting wrapping up in New Boston, new things starting out this weekend. Just a whole lot going on to tell you about. So let's take a minute before we get into our Bible study this morning to talk about some of that. And we'll begin up here in New Boston.
Well, the New Boston Fall Meeting will conclude this evening at 7 p.m. And they've had Mike Price come and hold this meeting that was themed Church of Christ Evangelize. And kick things off with an evangelism seminar and then several lessons. Tonight we'll conclude at 7 p.m. with the death, burial, and resurrection, the consequences. So that is at the New Boston Church of Christ there at 610 North McCoy Boulevard.
And several things going on this weekend. I know the ladies are getting ready for the Ladies' Day down in Brady. I know that Ryan and Priscilla, they're going to be taking off today a little around lunch or so and going down there to set up. That's a big deal. I saw the notebooks and everything being set up by our ladies the other day, and it's going to be a great opportunity. But that's down at the Heart of Texas Bible Camp in Brady, Texas, and I'm sure you're already signed up and ready to go. And look forward to that. Also, Richard, I know that your wife's doing a Ladies' Day. Tell us about that.
That's going to be at the Sullivan Village Congregation in Lawton, Oklahoma. It's going to be Saturday, October the 8th. Registration will begin at 9:30 that morning. They'll have a luncheon that follows. Growing in God's Garden is the theme, and dealing with the fact of God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And that is at the Sullivan Village Congregation. You can get information by giving them a call, 580-248-1020.
Also, down at the Emory Church of Christ in Emory, Texas, they have this Restoration in America outlet that's going to be considered on Saturday, October the 15th. They're certainly excited about this with different individuals coming in. They've got Bradley Cobb, Mark McWhorter, and the idea here is to talk about that whole restoration that took place not so long ago, really. So they're going to consider the Christians of New England, the Reformers, the Union of Christians. They're going to have a great lunch around noon. And so this will continue on into the afternoon at about 2 o'clock. But they want you to go ahead and RSVP if you can be there, I'm sure, because of lunch reservations and whatnot. So please call them at Emory at 903-473-2658 or find them at office at emorychurchofchrist.org. Office at emorychurchofchrist.org. That's October the 15th for the Restoration in America series.
Gospel meeting will take place at the Edgewood Church of Christ there in Edgewood, Texas, just off of Highway 80 East. It will be October the 9th through the 12th. The story of redemption is the overall theme, and they're having a different speaker for each lesson. So that'll be 9:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. that evening. and then 7 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You can get information about this meeting by calling 903-896-1420.
All right. And our good brethren up in Malvern, Arkansas, have sent us another opportunity for you. On October the 16th, they're beginning a meeting with Adam Orr. They're going to be considering the idea of saving the saints here at the North Main Church of Christ. And so beginning on that Sunday, the Lord's Day, they'll have the regular opportunities of service, 9:30, 10:30, and 2. But then each night that most of us will be able to attend, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 p.m., they'll be considering topics like Monday, saving the saints from idolatry, Tuesday, saving the saints from anxiety, and Wednesday night, saving the saints from the adversary. And so if you'd like to call and get a little bit more information, maybe you need some directions and whatnot, here they've left a number for you here. You can call it 501-332-2273. They'd be glad to hear from you even today. October 16th through 19th, a fall meeting at the North Main Church of Christ in Malvern, Arkansas with Adam Orr.
Well, all right. And also, there's going to be a Ladies' Day at the North Jefferson congregation, and that will be October the 22nd. And that is their 13th annual Ladies' Day.
Wow.
Living Without Fear in the Current Culture is the theme. And the speaker is Holly McCormack.
Oh, we know Holly.
And I know that she'll do an outstanding job. You want more information about that Ladies' Day, give them a call, 903-572-1136. I think we've got one more there down at Marshall.
Yeah, here we go. Marshall, the Marshall Church of Christ, Charles Harris has been invited in for a meeting from October the 30th into November the 3rd. And so the good brethren there have invited you in to consider the questions. Have you ever wondered, do you know the greatness of God? Have you bowed before His throne? Are you curious how to approach the Bible? Do you know how to become a child of God? Can you identify the church that Jesus built? Have you ever felt like Jesus just giving up? And finally, on Thursday, November the 3rd, are you ready for Christ's return? And so a lot of question and answers that are going to be considered that week with Charles Harris, again, down at the Marshall Church of Christ. And certainly they would love to have you attend down there. We love those brethren so very much, and we're grateful for Brother Harris coming and discussing these topics. It's 9:30, 10:30, and 6 on Sunday, and then each evening, Monday to Thursday, 7 p.m. nightly. And so they'd love to have you there in Marshall.
You can get information by giving a call, 903-938-2373, or going to marshallcoc.com.
Right.
For more information on that. Now, that's what we have for October right now. A lot of things that were going on in October around the Brotherhood, even that we've just been announcing here.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are other things that maybe you're aware of. Shoot us an email at mornings@tgrn.org, and we'll do our best to get that out. But we do have one more thing.
Yes, we do.
You know, it's November is going to be around the corner before we know it. Mark your calendars for the Gospel Radio Network Lecture and Supporters Banquet. That'll be November the 5th and 6th. And going to have some great lessons. Proclaiming the Gospel of Peace is the overall theme. Looking forward to that. And we're going to feed you well as well.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to cook up a lot of brisket.
Oh, boy.
And so come and to be a part of that Saturday. Hope to see you here in Mount Vernon. If you can't make it down or up, then come on to the radio network, and you can listen live here. We'll be broadcasting all of these lectures live that day.
All right. And those of you that are local, remember that we'll be set up on the square this weekend during the Country Fest, second Saturday in October festival. And we'll have quite a few of our members over there manning the booth, giving out tracts, setting up Bible studies with our community, you know, different things for the kiddos. May set up some of our bean bag tosses for the kiddos while the parents are talking with our members and whatnot. So come in and look us up, you know, just like we read yesterday. at the end of chapter number one, Onesiphorus, he came and he looked up Paul. So be an Onesiphorus and come and look us up on the square this weekend. We'd love to talk to you and visit with you. Let us know that you're listening to TGRN regularly. But we'll be there this weekend. So that's pretty much what we've got going on that we have before us that's going on. As Richard said, there's probably more going on. We just don't have flyers or announcements, but send them to us, and we'd be glad to let the Gospel Radio Network work for you. Well, this morning, we enter into chapter number two in Timothy's reception here of this letter from Paul. And so we look forward to this study of these wonderful 26 verses. Again, man has made those separations here in the chapters, but we had a great discussion yesterday in chapter 1. Brother Ryan did a great job with those 18 verses, and certainly we look to at least try to shed some light on some of those wonderful things that Paul's written here in these 26 verses. So, having your Bibles open there before you, your cup of coffee in your left hand, your Bible in your right, let's go ahead and just open together and read the first seven verses.
You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of his crops. Consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things.
All right. So notice that our thoughts this morning here in verse number one begin much like they did yesterday in chapter number one there. Verse number two, he says, my dearly beloved son. And here he refers to him again as my son. And so we understand the relationship of a spiritual father to a spiritual son. We can understand maybe even a tutorial that had been going on, Timothy under Paul. Nevertheless, it's a wonderful and a precious relationship. Mentors are something that are incredibly important to us, both, you know, right in the secular realm, but also in the spiritual realm. We need mentors to help one another along. You know, we've seen where women, the older women, are admonished to teach the younger women. And certainly we see the same thing going on here, perhaps with an older Paul teaching a younger Timothy. He refers to him as my son, and he says, be strong in the grace that is found where? But in Christ Jesus. And so there's a great big list that we compile as preachers and preach it on a regular basis, the many things that are found in Christ, redemption, salvation, all spiritual blessings, and certainly grace is on that list. And so he says, after the things that were just mentioned and talking about, either be like an Onesiphorus or you can be like a Hermogenes and Phygellus, he says, choose your path and be strong. Choose the path of grace. Choose the path and stay in the path that is in Jesus Christ. Be strong. And then commit these things that you've heard to other men. Now, you know, you can commit stories about the Civil War, and you can commit, stories of various historical events one to another. But what about sound doctrine? That's something that absolutely should be committed one to another and passed along. And so he says, the things that thou hast heard of me, what do you reckon that was? Well, I know that it was sound doctrine. And so these things that he has heard among many witnesses, commit to faithful men. Committing, you know, like sometimes Richard goes out of town and he says, hey, can you come over and do this or check on this or pick my vegetables or whatever? You know, to some degree, he has committed some sort of a trust to me or to anybody. And so he expects when he comes home that his mail would have been picked up, that his dog wouldn't have died from starvation, that his vegetables would have been picked. There's a certain degree of trust. And you see the same thing here. I trust that you will continue to teach others what I have taught you, because this is how it's propagated. It's passed on. And so God has given us vocabulary to communicate. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That message is what we need to be continually passing on, isn't it?
Think about this as well. He says, commit it to faithful men. And even the idea, who then are these faithful?
Mm-hmm.
A faithful man is one who will be able to also teach it to others.
Mm-hmm.
There is even a mark of my faithful servitude is if I am able to teach it to others.
Mm-hmm.
Here he says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses committed to faithful men. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse number 9, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do.
Mm.
And the God of peace shall be with you. And so, it's not even just, he wasn't just one who taught. He was like Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10, prepared his heart to know it and then to do it and then to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying here, you have learned it and received it and heard it from me, but you saw it in me as well.
And now here we see the responsibility of the faithful one. The faithful one has a responsibility then to teach and to pass it on. And he uses two wonderful examples here. He breaks into the example of the soldier and the example of the farmer. And again, much like Jesus would teach, the parable of the sower, the parable of the fig tree. I mean, any of these things that are so very relevant to us. My son is a soldier. Maybe those that are listening today have friends and family that are soldiers. You very well understand that. You've seen gardens grow, and so you understand what a farmer does. These are two things that we can easily understand, and so I appreciate that very much in Paul, that he would communicate in such a way, even as he said in Ephesians 3, so that when I write, you can understand when you read these things. So he says, endure hardness. Endurance is something that we could really zoom in on. Endurance is that which is profitable to a man. Jesus says those that endure would be saved. And so endure hardness. We can expect this in this lifetime. We see ourselves as wearing the Christian armor, Ephesians chapter 6, and so we are to be soldiers. And I think it's the American Standard. I fail at the moment, but it says a soldier on duty. This idea of not being off duty. As a soldier, you're on duty all the time. As a Christian, you're on duty all the time. It's a lifestyle. And so as a man that warreth, he doesn't entangle himself with the affairs. My son related that while he was in Afghanistan, that they tried to draw your attention away, some of the locals, so that something evil could be perpetrated. So you have to stay focused. You don't want to entangle yourself with that which would distract you from being a good soldier, hence the affairs of this life. And notice that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier, or as the New King James says, they're enrolled. There's about three sermons here, Richard. Being enrolled by Christ, right? Baptized into him, immersed into him, Galatians 3:27. Added to the kingdom, Acts chapter 2. This is the enrollment. And so as being enrolled by Christ, we're a soldier. And so stand fast. Be strong, he says in verse number 1, excuse me, as a soldier on duty. In Luke chapter 9, we have recorded that Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That is the soldier on duty. The soldier many times is required to be exposed to the elements, to stand guard in the rain, to be away from his family, various things that we could bring up. And so we could say about the Christian. we understand that there are things that we must face on a daily basis. It has been recorded by one author. Socrates said, "Know thyself." Marcus Aurelius said, "Control thyself." And Christ said, "Deny thyself." I think that's a great focal point for us right here. Because as a soldier, that's exactly what we do. We deny ourselves. You know, it's interesting that, and this is kind of a rabbit hole thing, but with Eric, my son, he is allowed to carry a firearm as a registered gun owner. But he is not allowed to carry that on base. It's kind of a weird thing to consider that a soldier couldn't carry a gun, but nevertheless, as a soldier, he is denied that, you know. And so, as a Christian, you know, it's legal for me to drink. It's legal for me to smoke. It's legal for me to go to casinos. It's legal for me to do a lot of things, but Paul said all things are not expedient. And so, deny those things. Put away those childish things, Paul would say. Endure hardness, those things that are coming towards you as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
And you think about it, Chip, you know, as a citizen, he's allowed, in other words, it's legal by our governmental laws of mm-hmm. the land for him to carry that firearm.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it's not there on base.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing is true. There's a lot of things that are, you know, legal from the American laws,
mm-hmm.
but they're not legal from God's laws.
That's right.
You know, and I like what the ESV says, even with that idea on that, because it really pulls into to what you said about Eric. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a
mm-hmm.
civilian, he has this right.
I like that.
But as a soldier, he doesn't have this right.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, so we have to definitely consider that idea of denying self. That's crucial to the Christian walk. Verses 5 or 6, striving for the masteries. I like the New King James says, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You know, and so, you know, when you cut across the middle of the track and end up done a half hour before everybody else, you can't get the gold ring because you cheated. You've seen people stripped of medals and awards because they cheated, as it were, with chemicals in their body. And so we understand the idea of cheating. And so here we have this idea of you have to compete according to the rules. The hardworking farmer. You know, these examples are so very relevant to us. We understand how it works, especially having just come out of the Olympic season. We see how things work. And so we have to, as a Christian, compete by the rules, right? We understand how a man is saved, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being immersed for the remission of our sins, which is the point of salvation, the Bible says, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, we're added to the kingdom and we must live faithfully from then on. Baptism is just the beginning for us. And so for one to obey the rules and expect to win by following the rules, that's the example that's given here, even with the one that competes in athletics, the one that is the farmer. He doesn't expect to get a watermelon crop if he never even enters the field or if he puts a corn seed into the ground. See, there's rules, sowing and reaping, that must be followed.
Well, Paul uses that example of the athlete in 1 Corinthians 9 as well when he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?
Mm-hmm.
Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that idea of denial.
That's right.
A person who's running this race, especially a physical race, okay, he's going to deny himself that double cheeseburger and the Bluebell every day because he's trying to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Denying self. Do not be entangled with the affairs of the world while you accomplish it.
And so even in the last verse that Richard read, consider what I say. What did he say? Well, he said, be strong And he said, remember to fight like a soldier, remember to run like an athlete, and remember to stay behind the plow. Luke 9 and what is it, verse 62, stay behind the plow even as a farmer, always obeying the rules and considering sowing and reaping. And so a lot of wonderful comments just here in the first seven verses that Paul has for this young preacher, Timothy. The next thing that we get into is this idea that we see about Paul suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's, you know, as you would see in chapter 4, not to get into Friday's broadcast necessarily, but, you know, the end of Paul's life is nearing, and he's very well aware of that. And so for one like young Timothy, who is surrounded by controversy and maybe even apathy and things of that nature, you know, I see this in him. He said, look, even after I'm gone, you need to step up. You need to be a strong soldier of Jesus Christ. And so we see this idea even being portrayed by Paul in verses 8 through 14.
Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers.
Now he begins, notice in verse number 8, by pointing back to David. The seed of David, who was raised from the dead. And, you know, as we have commented hundreds of times on this particular program, that was one of the great focal points of Peter's first sermon. You know, basically, as Richard says, you know, y'all killed him and God raised him. And so he points to him as just what he is, the seed of David. You look at passages like Hebrews 7 and verse 14, which specifically mentions Jesus as a member of the tribe of Judah, and that's where the kings of Judah sprang. Isaiah 11 and 1 mentions the stem of Jesse and a branch growing out of his roots. Much the same thought comes from 2 Samuel 7 about verses 12 and 13. Jeremiah covers it in Jeremiah 23. Amos, you know, over and over, the prophets point to David, this root, this branch. Over and over, we see this, and this is the Christ. And so here, Paul points out this very thing as he begins this thought. Remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's kind of a strange thing to hear, isn't it? But when you consider what he's saying, it's the same gospel that we've all taught. It's the same gospel that we've all obeyed. So my gospel and Richard's gospel, it's the same thing. It's that which comes from heaven. It's heaven's directive. It's the way to be obedient before Christ. And so that which I taught you, really, is the gospel truth, the death, the burial, and resurrection that you read of in 1 Corinthians 15, first several verses there. He says, wherein what? The gospel. In the gospel, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. But the word of God is not bound. I can be tormented. Remember, Jesus said, don't worry about what men can do to you, but fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. They can do whatever they want to me here, even if it means death. You could put me in chains. You can lock me in a dark room to where people can't hear my voice. But you can't do that to God's word. You cannot put a chain on the Word of God. Now, our friends in the Catholic Church many years ago tried to chain it to the pulpit to where you couldn't have access to it because, of course, you're not good enough to understand it. But he says here, it cannot be chained. You might chain me, but you won't chain or bound the Word of God. I'm certainly reminded of passages that are relevant at this point, like Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You're not going to chain it. You're not going to bind the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35. So you might put Paul in chains, but you're not going to chain up the word of God.
I think it's interesting there, you know, because Paul spent so much time in chains.
Yeah, he did.
Okay? Yeah, you know, I mean, if you go back to Acts chapter 28, you know, he's there in verse 23, even as it begins, and he's from evening till morning, he's persuading people of the kingdom. Then in the later part of that same chapter, he's in prison for 2 years, and he's still teaching and preaching to everyone that comes. He gets to Rome, and when he writes back to Philippi, he says that happened to the furtherance of the gospel. And, you know, by the end of it, that epistle, he's saying that those in Caesar's household mm-hmm. are greeting you. So you chained Paul, but the gospel wasn't chained. It had free right. course all the way into Caesar's household, you know. And so he used, you know, even those hard times for open doors. Even though the prison door was shut, the door of the gospel was open.
That's right. And it's amazing how the providence of God will play out before us in our daily lives if we'll just let him lead us. In verse number 10, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. These things that he faced on a daily basis, you know, you think back to 2 Corinthians 11, you know, on that list of things that he endured. You know, you and I, here in this day and time, we've not even come close to touching the hem of the garment in that particular passage. You know, I don't know that I've ever been shipwrecked. I don't know if I've ever been struck by a viper on a foreign island somewhere, nakedness, cold, peril, stoned, for crying out loud. But we still have the same charge. Endure those things as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, I endure all things for you. And so we could have about an hour discussion here about who the elect are. That's basically what he's saying here is Christians. He's writing to Christians. He says, what I've done today, I've done for everybody else's benefit.
And, Paul, I mean, we see almost that reciprocal example that we talk about in Philippians when he says, look not every man on his own things, but look, you know, look to others, or even, you know, the idea of esteeming others better than yourself, that reciprocal thought. Well, mm-hmm. here's what he's doing. He tells Timothy to endure hardship, mm-hmm. you know, as a good soldier. Mm-hmm. And then he says, here's what I did. I endured. And you think about all of those things that he endured. Mm-hmm. And why? For the elect's sake. Why? That they can obtain the salvation that is there. That's why.
That's right.
And he told Timothy that when he said, let no man despise your youth, there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. But in 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, you shall save both yourself and those that hear you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so why would he endure? And he's encouraging. We've got to remember in the context, he's encouraging Timothy to endure. And he said, I've endured. But, you know, his suffering was about to come to an end.
That's right. And again, back to chapter 4, we keep stepping on Grota's topic. But, you know, he says, I've done what I was supposed to do. I have endured for the elect's sake. And now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And it belongs to everybody. The elect, it belongs to everybody who obey the Lord, who love his appearing. Because ultimately, you know, Rich, in the last day, there's going to be several on this planet that are still living that are not going to love his appearing.
Exactly.
It's going to be more like, oh, I wish I had some more time. I wish I would have. And so that belongs to the elect. The elect are looking for salvation. So endure for them. Look on your brother. And so in verse number 11, it's a faithful saying. Now, we've covered that certainly in these epistles already. This is true. It's reliable. It's certainly inspired. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. You know, a lot of this is much of this territory that we've already covered. I saw, and maybe you did as well, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. In the context, I look back to Galatians 2 and verse 20, you know, here and now. But if I deny myself, as Jesus said in Luke 9:23, guess what I can expect? That crown mentioned again in 2 Timothy 4 for all those that love him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. Look what we got to look forward to. That looks right back to verse number 10 that we just saw. Salvation is ours. Suffering is a part of this striving to enter in through the gate that Jesus talked about. And if we deny him, he will deny us. That gets back to Matthew 10, doesn't it? Verses 32 and 33. So we've got a lot to look forward to, even in our walk with him today. Today is where we need to be focused. Your mornings with the Master. That's what you need to be focused on right now, because none of us are promised a tomorrow. And so, am I denying him today? Am I denying myself today? Or am I denying him today? That's a good introspection question to consider.
I even, you know, with that Mark 8:38, not just the denying, from whosoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But even the idea of in Mark 8:38 when he says that whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation. He says, whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and his holy angels.
Mm.
So it's not even just the idea of being ashamed of Christ and denying Christ, but even ashamed of his doctrine, his teaching, and denying his teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that, the essentiality of baptism for one salvation,
mm-hmm.
Those individuals, I mean, there's going to be a lot. He said there would be. Mm-hmm. They're going to say in the last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? And what's he going to say? But depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there is a bunch of those individuals that fall into the category of those who will be ashamed or those who will deny him.
Mm-hmm. Even those that we've already covered in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7
right.
to 9, those that don't know him, those that never obeyed, that's a category of denying. Consider this idea of if we believe not, he will not change, for he cannot deny himself. And so this is that idea of making some sort of an exception. God is too good of a character to send me, who has really been trying. I know I didn't do that good of a job, but he understands the things that I faced. Well, you know, in Jesus, in the judge, there is no variableness. There is no shadow of turning. There is no changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so please understand, when he says he cannot deny himself, he's not going to suddenly change his mind and say, well, you know what? I've been too hard on you all these years. Come on into the joy of your Lord. That's not going to happen. And so the reason that we say God is just and that his commandments are righteous and then all of his judgments are perfect, so says the psalmist and the prophets and the entire Bible, really, is because he is true. He will not lie. He cannot lie. And what he has said stands forever. As parents, sometimes we slip up and we do that. Say, now, if you don't clean up your room, you are not going to get ice cream. But at the end of the day, maybe you just feel bad for him and you give him ice cream. Anyway, God's not like that. God's judgments are true and righteous, and he cannot deny himself. Of these things, what things? Those things that we've just considered. This wonderful idea that's been before us, put them in remembrance. And Peter and the others do this on a regular basis, too. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I see that I must put you in remembrance of these things. And so, obviously, this is something that he and Timothy had talked about before. It's part of the teaching that he had heard among many witnesses. And he says, but it's okay to remind you. And so continue to put those in remembrance that are listening, charging them, commanding them before the Lord. the authority of the Lord then. Remember, Colossians 3:17, the authority of the Lord, that they strive not, fighting. Fighting, as we looked at, I think it was last week we talked about this idea of striving, not about words to no profit, but only to the subverting of the hearers. You know, some things that we can fight about do nothing but tear people down. And maybe, even as you consider people like Hymenaeus and Philetus, this idea of saying, well, y'all missed the resurrection. You know what that's going to do? That's going to destroy a faith. That's going to shipwreck someone. What have I got to live for now if I miss the resurrection? And so here is this idea of words of no profit. Did Adam have a belly button? Some of the craziest things that come to men's minds today that are really just emptiness. They're empty rabbit holes that we could spend a lifetime searching, and for what? It's got nothing to do with my salvation. And so I understand many of the things that can be talked about in a spiritual context. You know, we refer you back to Deuteronomy 29:29. You know, those things are not recorded for a reason. But remember what John records in John chapter 20. These things are written that you might build your faith and believe and have an inheritance. Talk about the things that are meaningful and necessary. Talk about the things which won't subvert the hearers, but will edify and build up the hearers, that which will save a man's souls. You know, the gospel doesn't cause strife, but it is my preconceived ideas, my preconceived notions that will cause strife. And so I need to be an open and ready receiver of God's word. I need to try to my best ability every day to be that good soil. This idea of words to no profit, the idea of empty babblings, this nothingness, that is the exact opposite of what God has to offer in his word. His words are life. His words are everlasting. His words will never fade away. But this profitless speculation, all of these empty thoughts, they're not going to do anything for my salvation. So avoid profane babblings, these emptiness. Avoid these things, but talk about that which is good and just and those things that are profitable. That's what you need to be focused on. And so let's do the same. Where's the virtue? Where's the praise? Think on these things. And then as we have the opportunity to close up this particular chapter this morning, beginning at verse 15, we'll look at some of these various admonitions that he leaves with us. So let's finish the chapter starting in verse 15 now.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Mm. Well, I tell you, these last admonitions, it sounds like two or three times he's going to remind us to avoid the unprofitable. But here in verse 15, he says, study the profitable. Now, the King James says study. I think the American Standard says give diligence. It's the idea of putting forth a great deal of effort. And that's something that we are charged with on a daily basis. You know, as goofy as it sounds, I remember back when I saw Forrest Gump. As a private, he was training to take his weapon apart and put it back together. And he did it in record time. And why is that? It's because he practiced constantly, and he gave great attention to the details. And so he was praised in that particular movie by his drill sergeant because of his diligence. Well, the same could be true spiritually. We are looking to be approved before God. The idea of passing the test, passing the bar, as it were. Give diligence to show yourself approved, not unto men, right, but unto God. A workman, not a pew sitter, not a pew warmer, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What a powerful verse this is. We quote this on a regular basis because it is such a powerful verse. Give diligence to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, some in days gone by have said, yeah, you got to know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. Well, that's true, but that's not really what we're talking about with rightly dividing the word of truth. I think, again, and I should have looked this up, I think it is the American Standard that says handling aright. And so not twisting passages to your own destruction and the subverting of other hearers, not teaching that the Bible teaches us that we'll just say the sinner's prayer and we'll be saved, but studying to show ourselves approved, giving that diligence, right, to handle aright. And so notice that in that statement, that there is a flip side. If there is a mention by Paul to handle aright, what is the obvious inference? That there are those that handle wrong, and we are to avoid that. And so handling right has everything to do with being approved unto God. And so there is a great burden, even on Richard and I, as we sit here before you today, because we have a responsibility to check what it is that we are teaching. And then you as the hearer have a responsibility, even as you see in Acts 17, verse 11, to check what we are saying and make sure that it is truly being handled aright so that we can show ourselves approved before God. And so this is a great charge. And so as he gets into even the following verses, he continues to tell us to shun, to turn away, to, you know, move away from that which is empty, that which would subvert the hearer, that which would increase unto more ungodliness. You know, the point of our existence, Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear him and keep his commandments. The whole point of our existence is to be more godly every day. What are you doing to that end? What am I doing to that end? You see, there are some that grow in ungodliness every day. And certainly those are the ones that are not approved before God. What are you doing today to increase in your godliness? See, grow, study, increase, move forward. Again, Luke 9:62, I believe it is, that idea of never looking back, always plowing forward. That's what God expects of us.
You know, Paul does this a lot in, you know, Colossians chapter 3, you know, putting off and putting on. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea we put off the old man, mortify that, put him off, and then we're going to put on the new man. Here's what you're going to shun because of what they're going to do. You know, you go away from these things, mm-hmm. but instead you're going to focus on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, here's, you're feeling it. Verse 15, you're shunning the bad things. Verse 16, mm-hmm. he does that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and he's going to do it here when we get in just a few moments to flee, where he says, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness.
Right.
You know, it's not enough just to run from or to give up, mm-hmm. you know, put off. We've got to fill up and run towards something good. And that's mm-hmm. what he does in 1 Timothy 6 when he says in verse 11, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Mm. You know, when we do it, we expand that gap between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
We get further and further away from it. If we're running from it and not running towards that which is good, we could even at times be running further from that which is good. So we've got to continue to increase in the good and decrease in the bad.
And so this bad, this vain babblings, the ungodliness, notice it eats like a cancer. I'm understanding that the word canker is the Greek term gangrena, and I'm thinking about gangrene. I'm thinking about this process that eats away and ultimately kills. Cancer is a nasty plague on society, and it is a problem. And so these empty and vain words, this ungodliness, is like a cancer. And you know, you just look at the course of America right now, just as an example. This cancer that runs through America and has for some time, really, but this ungodliness that pushes the envelope, constantly looking for, pro-drug laws, pro-abortion laws, looking for, you know, pro-homosexual laws. This is that idea of the cancer run amok, and it will kill. But nevertheless, here's the other side of the coin again that Paul shows us. The foundation of God stands sure, having his seal that the Lord knows them that are his. Isn't that comfortable? Knowing that God knows that in this sea of humanity that you are his. He sees you and he cares about you. He loves you so very much. It's the same idea that you see with Moses at the burning bush. Their cries have come up before me. And so God knows those that are his. And in the judgment day, he will name those, and he will say, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 20 and 21, in a great house are vessels of gold and silver, also of less honorable things, wood and of earth or clay. And so we see some great value and some of little or no value, some that bring honor, some that bring dishonor. And so what are you? What am I? I want to be that valuable possession. I want to purchase that pearl of great price. I want to be interested in that which is valuable. I want to be laying up treasures in heaven. Well, we could say a lot about that.
Oh, there's the good news of it, you know, the idea we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, mm-hmm. and the wages of sin is death. But the glory, you know, but the gift of God is eternal life. That bad news, good news, and here it is. Some are dishonor. Some, but he says, if you cleanse yourself from the dishonor, then you can be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for good work.
Mm.
Sanctified and useful for Jesus.
Amen. That's what I want to be. And so, how do you do that? Well, he says, flee those things of the youthful lust and follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with all those that are Christians, those that call on the name of the Lord, those that follow the authority of Jesus Christ and do what he expects, because after all, he is the author of salvation unto them that obey him. In verse 23, foolish and unlearned questions, avoid. They gender strifes. Here's this repeating idea of shunning the emptiness of profane words and following after the good things that are profitable. And the servant of the Lord must not fight or strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, patient, and meekness those that oppose themselves. You see,
I like what the King James does there. oppose yes. himself. Because really that's what we do when we sin.
Mm-hmm.
We're self-mutilating. We're, you know, self-murdering. We're opposing ourselves.
Right. God wants us to be saved. God wants us to spend an eternity with him. But what do? We put ourselves in harm's way. We ultimately make the charge to send ourselves to that Gehenna hell. What a horrible thing to even consider. And then certainly he ends in verse number 26, as Richard read to us, they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You know, the devil's right outside the door, and he's got a trap set for you. It's different probably than the one he's got set for me, but what are you doing today to avoid that trap? You better be walking circumspectly and looking down. Don't step in that trap today. And that's a good admonition for any of us. Avoid the snare of the devil, because he's looking to take you at his will, to do his will. Stay away from the adversary. Many great things that are taught here to young Timothy, and certainly they're meaningful to all of us. And certainly we had to fly over some of those things because of time, but we're glad that you're with us today. And we hope that those things that we have shared today with you from 2 Timothy chapter 2 have helped you in your mornings for the Master. We love each one of you, and we'll talk to you on our next opportunity tomorrow as Chris continues with chapter number 3, if the Lord wills. Good day.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in his Word, let's remember his words in Luke 6:46, when he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.